Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I had spoken earlier on the subject, plenty but not enough, or insufficient sufficiency. It was said of the wicked in Job 20, verse 22, in the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Notice the words fullness and sufficiency in contrast to the word straits. The word strait can refer to a narrow place, a confined place, a tight place, a pressing and distressing place. You might sometimes hear of a person that is in financial straits. Someone might refer to another having a hard time as being between a rock and a hard place. Wicked people often find themselves in straits. It is not unusual for a wicked person to have plenty, but not enough, to have that which is sufficient, but to experience insufficiency, first of all, because of wicked habits. If a person is a drinker, on dope, a gambler, a fornicator, or an adulterer, he might have plenty, but waste his substance with riotous living. His wicked habits might affect his ability to perform well on a job. He might be repeatedly late for work, and even repeatedly late out of work. Even if he has good performance at work, he might blow much money on his habits that he could spend on his family. Sometimes a wicked man's habits might lead him to commit crime. Many a person has had plenty of good health, plenty of wealth, plenty of good guidance, and plenty of opportunities to lead a quiet and peaceable and prosperous and godly life, but has wasted those blessings. Secondly, a person may have plenty but not enough because of greed, covetousness, and discontent. A wicked man can have plenty but not have enough to satisfy his hunger for more. The Apostle Paul wrote that godliness with contentment is great gain. A variety of evil fruit springs from the root of greed, covetousness, and discontent. Then thirdly, a believer might have plenty but not have enough because the believer is not putting God first. When the believer does not put God first, it might seem as though that he puts his money in a bag with holes in it. And then, the believer might have plenty but not have enough because the believer is a God robber. Robbing God by not paying tithes is not the way to get ahead in life. And then, a person might have plenty and not have enough because of the curse of God. But in contrast to the unrepentant sinner having plenty but not having enough, having an insufficient sufficiency, the godly believer might find that he has not enough but plenty, or sufficient insufficiency, first of all because of good habits. Sometimes the world might say that a godly man cannot make it without forsaking the will of God and taking up the ways of the wicked. When little David stood up against Goliath, many might have thought that he did not have enough protection. King Saul offered David his armor, but he refused to use it. Did David have enough experience? Even if David had smitten a bear and a lion, this was no ignorant animal. This was a soldier, a giant soldier with armor and a huge spear. Did he have enough experience to take on this giant? Did David have enough weaponry? Who in his right mind would willingly go up against a giant like that with a sling and five smooth stones? And enough size and strength. Did he have enough size and strength to go against this giant? It seems that this giant was about 9.5 feet tall. Goliath was the champion of the Philistine army, and David was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. King Saul spoke of him as a stripling. To understand the word stripling, think of a young tree with most of its lower leaves stripped off. Think of a strip of a young man. David said to the giant, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And later, "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Little David slung one stone that sunk into the giant's forehead, and the giant fell forward on his face to the earth. One stone. Did David have enough? With God, David had enough. Did David come to this kind of character by accident? Did he merely and by chance have the faith to slay the giant? No. David was blessed by God, and David used blessings that God had bestowed upon him. Back when David was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him. One of King Saul's servants said of David that he was cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Good character, good habits, and a good reputation can be a great help to the believer when the resources seem small. A person might not be the most talented or experienced on a job, but if he consistently comes in on time and is diligent in his work, that can set him apart from many. If he consistently tells the truth, if he consistently has an excellent spirit, that can set him apart from many. King Saul said to David before he went to fight Goliath, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Did David have enough? Did he have enough protection? Did he have enough experience, weaponry, size, and strength? The world might have thought he didn't have enough, but he had plenty with God. And then a person can have not enough, but plenty, or sufficient insufficiency because of contentment. The Apostle Paul went through some very hard situations as he served the Lord. But he stated, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Some young adults have been pampered and spoiled coming up, and they might find it hard to be content. And contentment is a hard lesson to learn. By the grace of God, the young adult believer can learn that lesson, the great lesson of contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The complaining couple that has plenty but complains that they do not have enough may go into unnecessary debt and increase their financial troubles. They might resort to gambling or even stoop to illegal and ungodly employment. Even ones that profess to know Christ may err from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But the contented Christian couple, even though the world says that they don't have enough, might find that they have plenty. There might be a number of people that listen to this broadcast that could testify of times when they were living for God and scraping and scrimping, and yet they had plenty. God can, if he wills to, stretch a dollar. And when it seems that there is more month than there is money, God can make the money last until the end of the month if it's his will to do so. And then a person might not have enough, but have plenty, or sufficient insufficiency because of putting God first. The Lord told the Israelites to give their first fruits. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 4 states, "The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him." Exodus chapter 23, verse number 19 said, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God." The first of the first fruits. It can be a bad habit to get into to put God last, or even down the list somewhere. It can make it easier to give to God first and then see what you have left to work with. It might seem that you don't have enough when actually you have plenty. What you have might seem insufficient when God will make it sufficient. Sometimes people might try to treat God like the government and tithes like paying taxes, in that they're looking for loopholes so that they don't have to give to God. I can understand a person trying to legally and morally avoid paying any more taxes than he has to the corrupt, bloated, money-wasting government in America. But God is not corrupt. God is not wasteful, and God is wise. Then we might consider as well having not enough, but having plenty because of the special blessings of God. I admit that sometimes we might consider what we have and what we need and think, this does not add up. But sometimes God intervenes with special blessings. Consider the widow woman of Zarephath. God had already made special provision to feed the prophet Elijah by commanding the ravens to feed him. Elijah had bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from a brook. The brook dried up, and God told him to go to Zarephath to dwell. And God told him that he had commanded a widow woman there to sustain him. The prophet found her and requested some precious water. You might recall that it had not been raining in the land. She explained that she had but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and that she was gathering two sticks to prepare a meal for her and her son so that they could eat it and die. She might have literally planned to scrape the bottom of the barrel for their last meal. You know what the prophet told her to do? He said, "Make me a little cake first, and after, make for thee and thy son." Did that prophet not hear what the woman said about preparing for her and her son's last meal? Did she have enough to feed them all, even one time? When one is obedient to God, God can make that which is not enough to be plenty, and an insufficient amount to be sufficient. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 15 and 16 states that she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The unbelieving skeptic might have leaned over and looked down into that barrel and scoffed and said, "That is not enough." But God made it to be plenty. Consider the feeding of about 5,000 men. When Jesus fed about 5,000 men and perhaps 10 or 15 or 20,000 people altogether, were the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes enough? Jesus gave thanks and gave the bread and fish to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the people. According to the word of God, the disciples gave of the fishes to the men as much as they would. And the disciples filled up 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Did the lad have enough bread and fish to feed thousands and thousands of people? Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and made of them plenty. Oftentimes the wicked man has plenty but not enough, an insufficient sufficiency. But when God wills, he can make that which is naturally not enough and make it plenty, and make the insufficient sufficient.
Why not now? Why not now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.